Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you and glad to be getting ready for a really nice week here. After the week of no sun last week, it's good to be back. It's good to have everything back. We've got Joshua Briscoe coming in to talk Chiefs later in this hour. We will get you a look at the rest of the NFL, and college basketball starts right away. Sports brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season this week for sure. Smash a Yumpkin pumpkin on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC East newly remodeled patio. Grab a pizza outside, shielded from the setting sun at Wichita Brewing Company West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Yumpkin pumpkin may be expiring, but still patio season out there at Wichita Brewing Company. We come back in. DJ, the rest of the NFL yesterday, pretty entertaining. We mentioned Sunday Night Football. What do you make of the Daniels injury, in the sense of everybody, of course, in the aftermath is going to be upset that they were getting beat bad and Dan Quinn had him in the game. And like, football
doesn't matter.
Football. Like, I hate that stuff. It drives me
nuts. I hate it too. It drives me nuts because the same injury could have happened. It was 0-0. Like, it's not like he was out there playing with the backup offensive lineman or something like that.
Right.
And they were just asking for him to get hurt. It's football. He happened to land on a hand weird and it happened. Like, that could have happened in practice. Like, it does not matter. It's a vacuum whenever that happens. It does not, the game doesn't make a difference towards that injury.
And they, and for all intents and purposes, the time on the clock, I don't remember what it was, but they were down 3 scores. You know, it's just you and you're a team that is about to go 3-6 and you're trying to like figure some things out. Like, you kind of need the live bullets to be able to, you know, okay, instead of working on this in practice over this last 5 or 6 minutes, let's go to this and see if we can find any success with it. And then we'll come back to practice this week and we'll build.
I mean,
on
there was like 9 minutes left in the game. You want to put Mariota in and take a knee with 9 minutes left? Like,
that's what I'm saying. You're down 3 scores. That's enough time to. What
the
would
Broncos,
be upset if
the
Andy
Broncos,
Reid
yeah.
pulled Mahomes, like when the Chiefs were down 2 scores and didn't have the ball with, what, 7 minutes to go?
Exactly. The Broncos scored 33 points in a quarter just like 3 weeks ago. Like,
that's so dumb. Like, it drives me crazy, those conversations. Like, that still means something. There's still, can we not turn into the NBA here? Like, you've got me in a fantasy basketball league where you have to set it every day, and I just look and there's like 9 guys out every day. And I'm like, what is, like, this is so silly. Like, can we not do that with the NFL, please? When the games are being played, let's have our players play in them. Let's do that. It was a freak injury, a bad landing. It's a bummer. It sucks. We all hate it. There isn't anybody that doesn't love to see Jaden Daniels play the position. And he's going to be out now. And he'll be okay. You know, it's his non-throwing arm, so they'll have to get it all corrected. And he'll be all right next year. And they're going to have to mail it in a little bit. Marcus Mariota's been okay for them. But it's not just him. Like, they were already old. They were already a pretty slow roster. Like, they didn't do a good job this offseason. They just didn't. Debo was a nice addition, but it's an older guy. Like, Washington, they did not have a good offseason. They were there. They, and I was surprised to see it brought up, but it was brought up last night by almost a full year, 9/10 of a year. They're the oldest roster in football. That's a big margin for a team that's quarterback is in his second year and he looks like the sky is the limit. How do you let that happen? You can't. Yep. And so they're going to have to do a retooling next year.
I would agree. I would agree with that. It's interesting. That roster that we saw in Monday Night Football, again, no Jaden Daniels in that game, but I mean, they didn't look good. And, you know, heading into last night, I think it was a 3-point spread. And I think that we both said on the show, it's like, I don't know why this is a 3-point spread, you know?
Yeah, when Jaden Daniels comes back, well, it's because Seattle's really good.
Yeah.
And Seattle's really good on the road. And Sam Darnold looks like Sam Darnold did last year before the very end of the season. They have everything you kind of want to see. They have a great defense. They've got a playmaker on offense that's as good as any in football right now in Jackson Smith and Jigba. They have an effective run game. If Horton's going to be as good as – sorry, if Franklin's going to be as good as he was last night, they are working with – no, it is Franklin for the Broncos. Sorry, I get them mixed up all the time, and I don't know why. But they've got a lot of weapons. They've got a couple of good tight ends. If they really are that good defensively, they're going to be a hard team to beat. And if you look at the landscape of the NFC yesterday, as we see the Packers lose to Carolina, nonetheless, as we see the Lions lose at home to J.J. McCarthy, which was really interesting. The Bears got it done, but I don't think they're striking a lot of confidence in anybody. Is there anybody right now that you with conviction can say is better than the Seahawks? I think the Rams are really good. I think the Eagles are good. But are you going to say like definitively that they're better than the Seahawks?
Are you talking NFC only?
Anymore.
NFC?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, not the AFC. In the AFC, I'd still take the Chiefs, the Bills.
Probably not. I mean, nobody's really shown it. I think that the Rams have shown flashes. I think and the Lions have shown flashes, but I agree. Seahawks are really good. Like we talked about earlier in the season. Yeah, that nobody knew what it was going to look like on paper or on the field. We knew it was going to look like on paper.
That's not fair for us either. And I get it because I was one of those people. You lose Geno Smith, who'd found success there. You lose DK Metcalf. That was an interesting trade. And you're like, okay, well, are they going to be able to pull a rabbit out of their hat, which it seemed like they'd done with Geno late in the career? Yeah, they have. Sam Darnold looks better than even Geno did. And he looks like the player that we saw in Minnesota last year. Now, thankfully for the Vikings, that J.J. McCarthy actually looked pretty good. J.J. McCarthy looked closer to what we, I think, kind of expect. Now, he didn't light the world on fire, but he went into Detroit and beat the Lions. So say what you will about J.J. McCarthy. That was a good game. He did have a pick, but he ran a little bit. He ran the ball 9 times. And I don't think and I know his yardage was suppressed, I think, because of like some sack stuff. But I think most of those, I think, were designed runs. I wasn't watching that game by itself. It was kind of on with the others. But there, if nothing else, it shows you there is a running component to his game. And he looked pretty good throwing the ball. And probably with those receivers, he only has to look pretty good throwing the ball because they have a lot of guys that he can throw it to that can go make plays for him. So that was an interesting development. I'm very stunned that the Lions let that happen. That is a very un-Lions thing to do.
I agree. Here, let me turn you to the AFC because I want to talk about this before segment's over. What do you think of the Bengals? After they did what they did yesterday, ended up losing that game. Where are they?
What do I think about the Bengals? I think take their overs as an auto bet every week.
It's true. Is their season over?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I feel like the last two have just been heartbreakers.
If 10-7 is the benchmark to reach the postseason, and I think that it is, and that's still sometimes stretching it, that team is not going 7-1 down the stretch.
It's so crazy because, like, you watch them play on offense, and it's like, holy cow. Like, you guys make Joe Flacco look elite, and then the defense is so bad.
The problem for them is, yes, the defense is so bad. The offensive line is also bad. So I don't know what they attack in the offseason more aggressively. Because if you're asking me, I would say the offensive line, because you can't keep getting Joe Burrow hurt.
Yeah.
So, like, all the resources that you have this offseason must go to the line, which doesn't leave a lot to help solve a defense that's this bad.
The defense is bad. I just looked at the totals because you just said bet the over every time. This is unbelievable. They've had, like, over 65 points total in every single game.
And the NFL's never going to put them that high. What are we looking at next week with them? Are they playing next week?
They're on a bye next week.
Okay. And we don't have – I don't think we're going to have week. Oh, no, we do have week 11 lines, by the way. Yeah. Oh, come on. At the Steelers, only 46.5. Can I bet that right now?
Way over.
Can I bet that now?
That game happened 3 weeks ago, and there was 64 points in it.
I got to bet that right away. Chiefs, Broncos, by the way, the Chiefs are 1.5 on the road. 1.5 favorite on the road. Can I bet both of those games right now? I bet I can if I try. Yeah, but if I go look that up, I'm going to go take that parlay immediately. The Chiefs laying the points and the Bengals Steelers getting over 46.5. What are we doing here? Like, I'll bet you by the time they play that game, that number is.
You might hit that at halftime.
54.
Yeah, I'd agree. Probably going to jump a touchdown.
I really am during the break going to go look and see if I can put both of those down. The Chiefs coming off of a bye and that. Come on. Denver's going to be an interesting matchup. I can't wait for that. We got a long time to think about this Bills game. We'll have Joshua Briscoe in just a few minutes. He jokes with us on X and says, maybe we skip this week. Josh wears that passion on his sleeve. So this will be a fun conversation with the reaction to the Bills game. We'll see if maybe he thinks it's a bigger deal than we do. Because I just am not... Again, like, I was seeing that come through. Like, the Chiefs got their butts kicked yesterday, and they were throwing Hail Marys to tie the game. Like, I think everything's going to be okay. They're just not going to, you know, they're just not going to have full field. We'll talk to Joshua next. Chiefs fans, hop in. You can ask questions. You can chime in on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. We're coming right back on Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we are glad to have in Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs Insider, Chiefs Radio Network pre- and post-game coverage. You can follow Josh on X at JB Briscoe. You can find him on the KCE Sports Network, a couple of podcasts there that you'll find. Let's be stereotypical morning show, lower third graphic, panic meter 1 to 10 for Joshua Briscoe is what after the Bills loss on Sunday?
Fire everybody, me included. That's my panic meter. Here's the thing I'm struggling with. I would feel like an utter fool to come in here and be like, well, guys, the Chiefs lost to the Bills in the regular season, and now the season's over. Like, because we've seen this a number of times. This is simply how it goes. But I do think we saw some real problems there yesterday that we've seen hints of, that we've talked about here on this show a number of times over the last several weeks. So I'm probably at like a 7, I guess. I really have almost no doubt that this is a playoff team. I have real doubt that they might, God, I don't, at some point I'm going to get in trouble for my real feelings about the Denver Broncos. I've watched so much Broncos football in the last 6 weeks, and I haven't changed my opinion about them once. But right now, they are in the driver's seat, and not just like, well, they're up by a game. They are utterly in the driver's seat. If the Broncos beat the Chiefs in 2 weeks, this thing might be wrapped. Certainly, if they sweep the Chiefs, it's over. The Chiefs need both of those games and a lot more. So, I think they're still a playoff team. I think losing to the Bills in the regular season is certainly not a year ender. But the AFC West streak is in... The AFC West streak in particular is a 9 out of 10 in my book. I mean, it is endangered right now. They're going to make the playoffs, and then I think if they do, I would love to pick the Chiefs to beat the Broncos in Denver by 30 points. But that's a lot of games away, and there was a good answer. I think it was from Nick Bolton that we played on the postgame show last night, talking to Josh Klingler. And I think Kling asked, as we've asked a lot of these guys, like, Are you prepared to see them again later this season? And Bolton said, like, yeah, you know, we see them a lot, but right now we can't be counting on seeing anybody in the postseason. Like, our side of that deal isn't being upheld right now. And I thought that was a really good answer. I hope I'm crediting the right guy. I think it was Bolton there. I think that's a really interesting little detail to add in. They have a ton of work to do. I think they'll be able to do most of it, but there is a lot to be done.
Yeah, you're in the same boat that we are. I think that, you know, that there's little to take away from what we saw on the field and a lot to take away from what this means for the rest of the season. But we'll talk about what we saw on the field. I think if you polled 100 Chiefs fans, at least 90 of them would say that the offensive line kind of looked like 2024 a little bit. What was going on?
I mean, by the end of the game, you had one healthy starter. That's the easiest answer, right? Like, I think Jalen Moore, we saw him struggle a little bit in the first half against Washington, then play a lot better. He had some rough moments. Juwan Taylor, I think, probably had his worst game in a month, maybe more. He had a really, really good stretch. And the one illegal formation penalty that didn't even get called, that's not what threw him off. He just, the protection wasn't there for Mahomes. I do think that, and this is, to your point, TJ, this is looking back to last year. I think it compounds when you have the offensive line starting to show some holes. Mahomes gets a little bit antsier, and I think there were a couple of times where he was trying to escape pressure that wasn't actually play-ending pressure, and it just kind of snowballs that way. But so that's one of the things in this game that is very clearly a problem and that I feel okay about long term. Josh Simmons, your guess is as good as mine, but if he is back at some point, it seemed like after the bye was an optimistic take at one point. If Josh Simmons comes back, well, now Jalen Moore's the guy that's coming in instead of Wanye Morris coming in for Juwan Taylor, and Mike Caliendo comes in for a beat for Kingsley Suamata-Ia while Trey Smith's battling his back injury all day. So again, Creed in the middle was the only healthy starter on that offensive line by the end of the game. That I think is probably the easiest explanation to that. But this is also a Bills D line without Ed Oliver, a Bills defensive line that did not have the kind of juice that you expected to derail your O-line like that. So I think that one's a relatively simple answer with some pretty complicated implications.
Well, I think it's the biggest concern coming out of the game. I'm just, like, I refuse to overreact to something that we've seen happen 5 out of 6 times it's been possible, which is Josh Allen beating the Chiefs in the regular season. He's 5-1 against him in the regular season. Most of the time, that's irrelevant. I think it's the things we saw on the offensive line that should cause us the most alarm, because it's the thing that has haunted them. It's the reason they've lost 2 Super Bowls.
Yep.
And if they can't run the ball now with a Pacheco injury, the next couple of days get pretty interesting. I don't think there's a lineman to go trade for or anything else, but they do probably need to self-evaluate a little bit. Because if they're going to have to deal with line injuries, the way they did it last year was by, like, overrunning the football. They can't do that right now with just Kareem Hunt. He doesn't have that kind of juice anymore.
And they chose not to do it yesterday. I want to pull up later today. I'm going to have to go through kind of some of the advanced analytic box scores. I think they're just an interesting way of adding in another little layer of information. But on the most basic stats you can keep for running the football, the Chiefs and Bills both averaged 4 yards a carry. Kareem Hunt averaged 4.5 yards a carry. James Cook averaged 4.2. Like, I'm with you, by the way. I'm like, I don't want Kareem Hunt to get 25 carries. But when you are in this spot that you were in the game last night, where Patrick Mahomes is completing less than half of his passes, where the offensive line speeds everything up, and Kareem Hunt's moving the ball 4 or 5 yards at a time, and that's not skewed by some 60-yarder that we all fell asleep and forgot about. Like, his longest run was 13 yards, and that's fine for Kareem Hunt at this stage in his career. I would have liked to have seen them try that a little bit more, but then also back to your point about the offensive line, I think you're hoping for Josh Simmons. You're no one ever had a bad back, as you know the thing people say. And I think about like Mitchell Schwartz talking about that sometimes. But Trey Smith isn't in like back surgery territory, as far as we know. God, knock on wood on that one. But if he's got back tightness, I hope nothing is better for that than a full week off and a ramp up back into Denver. I think if the health comes back around, Kingsley's been good this year. Like, he has really taken some steps. And then, obviously, it's late in the game that he gets hurt. I thought he had missed more than one snap. The snap counts today had Caliendo only in there for the one. So I didn't even realize that Kingsley had come back and gutted that out as much as he did. I remain optimistic about the offensive line, because the version of that that we saw against the Detroit Lions, well, actually, the Detroit Lions game was the first one for Jalen Moore. So even then, but the version of this O-line that has, let's say, two of their three starting tackles, including all three of those guys in the mix, I feel relatively good about. Disappointing to see Trey Smith have such a tough game out there yesterday when you know that that's ailed by his back. I don't think that Mike Caliendo is probably a better option at that point, but you just have all these little nagging injuries coming around at a really, really poor time.
I think the thing that we're wrestling with of how we should feel on this Monday morning, and I feel like a lot of people are probably wrestling with as well, did the Bills game plan well, or did the Chiefs not execute? Like, what side of the spectrum did this fall on? Is this a Bills win or a Chiefs loss?
I know that this is really bad for sports radio, but I do think it's a bit of both. I do think that you can look at that game reasonably and go, oh, okay, well, I mean, the Bills had a better game plan than the Chiefs did on both sides of the ball. I don't know how you could take anything other than that. Steve Spagnuolo was unbelievable, and also Josh Allen has played well against him over the years. This isn't one of those things, you know, the reputation that Lamar Jackson has taken at this point. Josh Allen hasn't gotten to the playoffs and wilted against Steve Spagnuolo. We all know this. We've seen incredible, incredible football games with those two sides going back and forth. It's not a good game from the Chiefs defense, but I'm less frustrated by what the Chiefs defense did, because I do respect Josh Allen that way, and I do respect the Bills offense that way. James Cook had a good day. He didn't single-handedly beat you. Josh Allen had a good day. He didn't kill you with his legs. The tight ends obviously did. That's the thing that you really have to just stare at until you come up with some other better idea. But Drew Tranquil one time loses his footing, the other time gets picked up on a pick. And he's their best coverage linebacker, and by a not small margin. That's not Nick Bolton or Leo Chanel's bag. So I do think there's a real concern there, especially if you do end up going up against the Bills again. And you go, okay, well, we've got the book out right now. I don't know if Jaden Hicks, who barely played in this game, I don't know if he's the answer for some tight end man coverage down the stretch. Maybe you could have Shamari Connor do a little bit more of that. He's going to be on the field all the time anyway. But I think the tight end thing defensively is that's the wound that the Bills just showed to the rest of the NFL. Offensively, I haven't gone back through and watched the all 22 yet. I'm going to do that after we're done here today. Maybe I should have just set my alarm 2 hours earlier today and gotten that done ahead of time, because I would love, I don't know that I'm going to find the final answer, but I am really, really baffled by what happens in a game where Patrick Mahomes throws the ball 34 times. He completes less than half of those passes, and he finds Rashee Rice four times, that Travis Kelce doesn't get involved until the end of the half, and then after that, still barely. Just so many things offensively felt out of sync. I do think the offensive line's day was probably the biggest issue. Here's a stat that I don't know if you guys have mentioned today, but Next Gen Stats had this out last night. The Bills pressured Patrick Mahomes on 52.6% of his dropbacks. That's 14.3% higher than their pressure rate in any of their other nine matchups against the Chiefs since 2020. So Mahomes was being pressured all day. He completed three of the 16 passes when under pressure, 3 for 16, 61 yards, and that pick. So I think we know what happened there. I'm really, really surprised the Chiefs didn't have better answers.
I don't think they were game planned. Joshua Briscoe joining us here, Chiefs Radio Network, our Chiefs insider. I don't think they were game planned for the line to play that poorly. And so I think it caught them off guard. Yep. And the plays that they had drawn up, just like if Mahomes had, it felt like he had his back to the receivers. Like most, like he didn't, he just never had a chance to get comfortable. They can probably game plan around that if they know the line's going to be in shambles and do a little more quick stuff. But they weren't ready for it in this game. But it is, like, we just saw this a year ago. It is the reason they've lost the two Super Bowls that they've lost, is because the line hasn't given Mahomes the time. Tom Brady, the GOAT, lost big games because the other team was able to get pressure with their front four.
Yep.
So it's a thing now. It's the thing to take out of the game. I think, like, if they don't fix that, they're not going to be able to achieve their goal. And look, they had it. They were Hail Marying to tie the game. They were still right there. I think that more than anything, Chiefs fans, like, they'll be fine. Like, they're going to be fine. And I'm with you. I think they're going to beat the brakes off the Broncos. But this thing is a problem when they get to the big games.
And just, I don't know if I have anything else to add on that. I'm with you on it. I'm going to flip it and tell you that's the thing for any great quarterback. And right. It's also the thing the Chiefs defense can't do right now, which is another concern all of its own. That how many times did Josh Allen get pressured with four last night? I don't have the number. I'm guessing it's a very small one. Yeah. I'm guessing it's single digits, and that digit might be zero. It's probably not. But, I mean, you had a couple of hustle sacks and some nice plays here. Oh, Chris Jones makes the impact, and I think Leo cleaned that one up, and George Karlaftis makes a pressure, and Ashton Gelati cleans it up. That's great. But when Josh Allen has time to sit and survey, would any quarterback, I watched Sam Darnold last night just dicing that Washington defense, and obviously the Chiefs beat them, but you're talking about beating the brakes off of somebody. The Seahawks were doing it with Jaden Daniels out there for most of the day. That injury was horrible also, but yep. I digress, neither here nor here. When you look at what the Chiefs defense fails to do in terms of just send Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, another defensive end, and another defensive tackle, whoever's in your rotation, can those four guys ever really disrupt the play before the quarterback has a chance to go through his reads, or at least enough of his progression to find an answer? The times that Josh Allen ended up holding the ball last night, and again, he was holding the ball, was because I think he's looking, and seeing good sticky coverage from the Chiefs secondary. Again, other than the tight end position, which is a huge other than that, I think that the secondary did a pretty good job for the most part with a lot of those wide receivers, even with Khalil Shakir. So I am just left so frustrated there, where obviously like Felix and Udike Uzomah wasn't working out, but he's on IR, and Omar Norman Lott was not off to a hot start, and he's on IR. I don't know if we're gonna hear some news in the next 24 hours or 36 hours or so, whatever it's going to be up until the trade deadline. I have to think they're calling around, but just as much as, I guess, Jacob, I have a little bit of hope, a little bit of optimism that the offensive line is going to improve as it gets healthier. There is no reinforcement on the Chiefs defensive line, and so that's the thing that I'm kind of sweating about for the long term.
Josh, you were kind of on the same page whenever we started here about, you, as Jacob was saying, you don't take anything away from this game and say, oh God, like the Chiefs aren't going to be able, they're not going to be able to do it. Like the Chiefs played well and the Bills just may have played better. The biggest thing that I think that's making us, you know, clinch everything together here is the fact that they're 5-4 now, you know,
yeah.
10-7 was the benchmark for the playoffs last year. I think they'll get in the playoffs, but as you said, you know, it's an endangered time to try to get that streak keeping going in the AFC West. Where do they go from here? Like, what do they have to do to keep the goals in front of them?
I guess you could have told me before this three-game stretch of Bills, Broncos, Colts, like, hey, you can lose either the Bills or Colts game. You can't lose to the Broncos at this point. You just can't, not realistically. You can't plan on beating them on Christmas and say, okay, well, then we'll just be tied up then and we'll figure it out in Week 18. That's not going to be an option. So I think the most important game on this three-game stretch is still that Broncos game. Now, here's the hilarious thing, guys. Here's the stupid, wonderful thing about the NFL. The Chiefs are two games behind the Denver Broncos right now. It feels like a mile. And if they beat the Broncos twice, they will be tied up in the standings and have the tiebreaker. Now, you've got to win all the rest of these games, but you've got to beat a Colts team that just finally really stumbled yesterday. The Cowboys on Thanksgiving have a really good offense and no defense. The Texans almost beat the bleeping Broncos.
Should've.
With Davis Mills. Oh! So CJ Stroud will be back for that game, and they'll beat the Chiefs by 10 or whatever, and that'll be the thing that ends the AFC West. I hope that's not true. I don't actually think that that's true. The good news is that the NFL is absolutely packed with flawed football teams. But the more philosophical answer to your question is that I think the Chiefs have to prove they're bigger than their flaws the rest of the way, and they have to play not perfect football, but they need to play the best football they've played in quite a while if they want to win this AFC West. And again, right now, I don't even mind in the locker room, they're talking about the fact that they're on the wrong side of the outside looking in playoff graphics right now, because that is the amount of ground they really have to cover. The good news for fans of this team is that two wins over the Broncos and a relatively normal back half of the season, and they would be right back in it. It just might come down to that game on Christmas, and who doesn't love a little bit of extra Chiefs stress on their Christmas, huh?
They need their rookie left tackle back. They need him badly. We'll see what Andy Reid has to say about that today. Josh, you follow Josh on X at JB Briscoe. You can hear him on the Chiefs radio network right here with us and the Odyssey family. Everything else and only weird games on the KC Sports Network. We appreciate it. We got a long time to think about this loss.
We do.
Which always sucks even harder.
Hey, next time we're talking to Josh, we're going to talk about Chiefs running back Breece Hall on the show.
you're still thinking that. I don't know.
We got like 24 hours.
Let me know if you want me to do any self-scouting during the bye. Anything you guys want to tweak schematically for the rest of the season, this is the time to do it. So I'm good with feedback.
Yeah, quick pass game. Quick strike pass game. It's going to be necessary for a couple of weeks.
I think you're right.
Run that up the poll.
I'll see what I can do.
see what we think about
Oops,
that.
I just found out I can't do anything about that. Sorry, guys. Oh. I tried.
We'll try. We have Monday Night Football coming up tonight. Cowboys and Cardinals should be good. You also have the Chiefs Kingdom show. So you get the Chiefs Kingdom show at 6, followed by Monday Night Football, Cowboys, Cardinals. Jake Ferguson is the first touchdown score bet of the evening for me. All right, TJ, you said that Russini's reporting Breece Hall would take a third. Is that right?
Basically, I think that's rumored, I guess, but she says that she's got sources within the Jets organization saying it would take something lofty like a third-round pick for them to want to move him.
Third-round pick Breece Hall's got this year and next under control.
Does he? I think it's just this year.
No, I think he's got next year. I think I checked this last week. Checking. But Breece Hall is obviously tied to Wichita. We all love Breece Hall. He's very, very talented. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year. God, that's too much.
That needs to be something to where you're calling Breece's agent and getting permission to do that and saying, can we get him?
It would be a sign and trade. And that happens all the time in the NFL. That happens all the time. What is the contract, though?
I know. I mean, if you get Breece Hall, you can't pay Trent McDuffie, basically. Is that might be what it comes down to.
Probably not. But the Chiefs have proven us wrong over that over the years. The average per year, Saquon just signed one, got it done. He's making 20 a year. McCaffrey, 19. Henry, 15. Jonathan Taylor, 14. Kamara, Josh Jacobs are at 12. James Cook just got one done for 12. So let's say it's 12.
Yeah.
Let's say it's 12 million a year. That's a pretty big number for the Chiefs, who haven't paid a running back in a very long time. Okay. So that's one factor, is that you've got to do a contract. You're not making that trade for just this year for a third.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then let's go back and look, and I've got this pulled up. Here are some names that the Chiefs have taken over the years in the last, let's call it, in the last generation. And these weren't all Brett Veach picks, but just you'll see why we're taking this back just a little bit further. Noel Williams, who's been impactful for them, Wanye Morris, Leo Chenal, Lucas Niang, Derek Nnadi, Kareem Hunt, oddly enough, Travis Kelce. A third is a lot. A third is a lot. And that's a part of the draft that the Chiefs historically have done really well in. Those are the rounds where they've built this franchise. It hasn't always been first round picks. It's been a lot of guys in this sort of range. So, you know, if you were to do a draft, would you take Breece Hall in the third round? Of course you would. Of course you would. But at $12 million.
Yeah.
And the alternative, I would say the chances are very low. I would say they're better that a team like Houston makes that trade. That would make sense a little bit more to me. But now they lost that game yesterday. Had they won that game yesterday, like, that's where I think you go to it. Because if you're making that kind of move and that kind of a commitment to a player like Breece Hall, you're committing to running the ball. I don't know that the Chiefs are going to commit to running the ball. I think they need to, but you look at the teams that have those types of players, Barkley, McCaffrey, Henry, Taylor, Josh Jacobs, James Cook. Those are teams that by design want to run the ball a lot. And I don't think the Chiefs, and this isn't a fault to the Chiefs, I don't think they should either. They have built everything for this pass game, right? They have invested all this money and energy into left tackle and wide receivers. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to abandon that and then all of a sudden try, because you can't commit that kind of draft pick and that kind of money to a running back who's going to run the ball 10 times a game or 12 times a game. It just doesn't work. Can Breece Hall by himself do more than a combination of Pacheco, Hunt, and Breshad Smith? It's probably closer than we want to think because we love Breece Hall so much. So for the Chiefs, I just don't think it makes sense. I think the price tag is too high.
Okay, next on the list, Rico Dowdle.
Nah. How hurt is Isaiah Pacheco?
I mean, it's week to week, which in the NFL, that might mean like 4 or 5. And it's an MCL.
I'll say no. I'll say no. Green Mountain was average 4 yards carry yesterday. I mean, I just don't
buy it. Who's after him?
What do you think is going to happen if they trade for a running back? All of a sudden, they're going to start running the ball a ton?
No, but they they don't have anybody else besides Kareem Hunt. Like, unless Breshad Smith is going to have a game that he hasn't had yet, but like, he's not that kind of running back.
I mean, if you're telling me you get Dowdle for a 6th round pick, then sure. Yeah.
What would you trade it for? Would you trade a 4th for Dowdle?
No, absolutely not.
What's the line here? Tony Pollard's on this list. What about Tony Pollard?
No.
Jerome Ford.
For a 4th?
We'll say 4th, yeah. Would you trade a 4th for a running back?
No, I wouldn't. Josh Williams was a 4th round pick. Legarius Sneed was a 4th round pick. Like, no, I wouldn't, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to utilize that player to justify. It's got to be like 6th or 7th. It's got to be like last, like very end of the draft, because it's just not that if something happened and Hunt got hurt, they just showed you they can go sign Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Oh,
they're not
whoopee.
I know whoopee, but they're not going to run it enough to make it a thing. Kareem Hunt carried the ball 11 times in that game. Should have been more. Yes, I'll agree. But the running backs collectively carried it 15 times, 16 times. Like they haven't designed their offense to do that. Now, before this year, like they have invested so much at tackle, money, draft picks, all of it. Like they have built this whole thing to get these receivers back and throw the ball a ton. That's what they've designed everything on. And it's why they've looked really good this year. Yesterday notwithstanding, because the offensive line looked really bad. But if the Chiefs are going to do what they're going to do, it's going to be because they do that. They're not all of a sudden in week 9 or week 10 going to come out and be the Buffalo Bills offense, which is the only offense, by the way, in football that runs the ball at that level. And so if you're not going to do that, then you can't take resources, money, draft picks, or whatever that you're going to need to sustain. At some point in the next 3 or 4 years, you're not going to have Travis Kelce or Chris Jones anymore. Like, they have to be able to rebuild and retool this roster, and losing draft picks, especially in the middle of the draft where they have thrived, is a huge ask for a running back that if you waited, you could get in free agency for nothing.
Okay, hypothetical time. What if Isaiah Pacheco's injury is worse and he's out for the rest of the year?
It's a different scenario, but he's not.
But it's week to week. Like that, it's not day to day. It's week
then
to week.
An MCL sprain. I would imagine that there will be guys that get cut. There will be guys on the street, and there will be guys that they can get for a 6th or 7th round pick. There absolutely would be. It might be somebody's backup right now.
I guess the biggest question is: are you comfortable in a hypothetical situation here, in a playoff game, you're on the road at Buffalo and Kareem Hunt is your bell cow?
Yes, yes.
I'm fine with that?
I'm far more concerned with what's happening on the offensive and defensive lines than I am. I mean, the Eagles just went and traded for Jalen Phillips. Like, that's, if I'm going to spend a mid-round pick and I'm the Chiefs, it'll be for a defensive lineman, A. And like, the concerns about what they're doing on the lines so far outweighs whichever player they have in the backfield. The short yardage thing is becoming less effective, I think, anyway. I'm not sure that's sustainable. But this team this year will win a Super Bowl if they protect Mahomes and let him carve defenses up, and if they can, in the playoffs, create the kind of pressure and disruption that they have over the years, which they haven't been doing thus far. But they need to be able to pressure the quarterback. Those things are so much farther up the list of priorities when we're talking about potentially trading draft capital than the running back. I'd love for him to trade for Breece Hall because it'd be fun. Like, it would be awesome. It'd be a fun fit and all these things, but I don't think it will alter and change up the offense and what it is. Breece Hall is interesting because he could help you so much as a receiver too.
That's the thing. They haven't had a running back that can catch passes like that since Jerick McKinnon, and that was at a limited capacity.
But that's why they drafted Breshad Smith, and he's shown us this year he can do it. So,
as like, when
he didn't do it yesterday, he didn't do it yesterday, but he's done it. You know,
I mean, is that what the plan is though? Like, that's what you have to ask. Like, it's the replacement question. Like, if Kareem Hunt's the lead back, like, he's been good. Like, I'll give him that. It's the fact of what is the plan at the second running back, because Kareem Hunt can't take 20 handoffs, like you said.
He can't, but they're not going to give any running back 20 handoffs. Can he handle 10 to 15? Yeah, he can, and that's what they're going to ask him to do. Breshad Smith, by the way, before the Washington game, and I don't know what's happened the last 2 weeks, and it's something that I think they need to look in the mirror and ask themselves about, but he was on a stretch there. He caught 3, 3, 3, and 5 balls, and then he hasn't caught any the last 2 weeks. That's interesting because it is something, and it's probably just a cause of, you know, Rice is back and they have all these weapons. But I do think, I think they're very comfortable with him playing that role. I don't think they're going to give anybody more than 15 carries a game. So Kareem Hunt right now taking 9 or 10 is fine. He's good in short yardage. He's a good pass blocker, which they need right now while the offensive line is there. And if he can fall forward for 3 or 4 yards a carry, that's what the offense is designed to do this year. It's not the same as last year. If you asked me the same question last year, I would have said, hell yeah, go make a trade for a running back. Because last year they transformed into an offense that needed to run the ball 25 times a game.
Yeah, that's true.
That is not what they're going to do this year. You can't have Rice and Worthy and Kelsey and Hollywood and a line that you've invested all this money in. You can't do that and then turn around and not throw the ball a ton. So they just, like, they put too much into this pass game to try and on a dime make a switch because Buffalo played a good game defensively.
I agree. I mean, I'm with you. We talked about this a month ago, and I was with you that, like, Breece Hall would be cool, but they don't need him. Like, he's not going to do more than what Pacheco's doing for you right now. But the fact of the matter is now is that there's no Pacheco. Like, he's out for a month.
Right. He's a better player. He's a better player, and he's awesome. I just don't know that that's what they're designed to do. Like, Breece Hall's a superstar. If they want to make the trade because he's available and they have designs on making him a big part of the offense after this year, then that's a totally different conversation, right? Because at some point, Rice is going to have to get paid. At some point, you're not going to have Kelsey. At some point, you know, the line has to make some changes. Like, that's a totally different conversation. But if it's for this year, you're making that trade. Like, I just cannot see a world where Andy Reid says, okay, let's go get Breece Hall and let's start running it 20 times a game to our back.
I agree. I'm with you on that.
So to me, the price tag is too high. Just go get Breece Hall in the offseason. Offer him a contract and don't trade your third round pick if that's what you want to do.
That because I don't the think, money part of it.
Well, no, but it solves the giving up a third round pick part of it.
True.
They're not trading a third round pick for him. That'd be nuts. It just doesn't make any sense. All right, that does it for Sports Daily here on a Monday. Cowboys Cardinals tonight should be pretty entertaining. We'll see. Maybe a scout on the Chiefs a few weeks down the road. Get a look at the Cowboys at home. That offense is healthy now for Dallas and should be able to score some points. Their defense is awful. The first touchdown bet, TJ, going tight ends here. Jake Ferguson, I'll probably hedge with McBride, but the Ferguson is the call. Ferguson first touchdown is the call tonight.
I will be watching. I'll be ready to text you. If I can watch it, I don't know if I can.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Maybe
go to the sports bar.
Eat some chicken
wings. Wichita Brewing Company.
Yeah, eat some chicken wings and have a beer. Kind of a night. Maybe doing that. Are you working TV today?
Nope, I'm off.
I'll send you the deets. All right, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. We've got Wyatt Thompson. We'll ask him some of this stuff we were talking about today with K-State on just how uneasy fans might be or should be. But we'll get into all of it on a Tuesday. For Max, for TJ, thanks to Josh Prisco. Go back and listen on the Odyssey app. I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.